mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that? Man, we talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
That's right. We are talking about practice. Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. The world's greatest sports talk radio show. I'm your host, Gerald Gilbert. Alongside me, as always, my partner in crime, Derek Izumaki.
What's good, party people?
We also got the one, the only, DJ J Pounds, a.k.a. Jordan Booth.
Happy MLK Day.
Happy MLK Day.
Even though his birthday is Friday, we're gonna do that whole thing. But happy MLK Day.
We gotta have a long weekend, man. So yeah. Friday or Monday, give it one of those days.
And
so,
shout out to all the establishments that gave their employees either Friday or Monday off. Shouts to you.
Absolutely. And we got the man, Statman Brad.
Yeah.
All right. So, guys, anything cool happen over the weekend?
Nope.
Nah. Conor McGregor's left hand.
Oh, boy.
No, Conor McGregor's shoulders, man. Shoulders. His shoulders,
yeah. Well, that,
man.
Yeah, that was a nice shoulders. Little story, too. But the left hand, his left hand and that kick.
And his left in. Foot. Yeah.
Did you guys see
all 40 seconds of it? Yes, I saw all 40 seconds of it.
That's not what I was going to ask. But.
I like it when people like videotape it on their phones for me. I'm like, thank you, guys. I didn't have to buy the pay-per-view.
Yes,
right. So appreciate that.
I mean, there's just been too many occasions where a fight lasts 30 seconds. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And not worth it to me.
Yeah, and everybody's disappointed with the results. Like, there's very few times. Like, I can only think of one fight ever in the history of buying fights that I was actually happy with. And it was Floyd Mayweather versus Oscar De La Hoya on Cinco de Mayo. That was a good fight.
That was a good fight.
It wasn't really a great tactical fight, but the hype going into it was Cinco de Mayo. Everybody wanted Floyd Mayweather to lose.
I'm not gonna lie, the Wilder Fury fight was actually pretty great. I didn't buy that one myself, but I did watch that one. I thought that was a pretty.
That was
good
a good fight.
I'm thinking about buying the next one, or at least finding someone who's gonna get it and watch it at their place.
Hey, I'm down to tag along.
All right,
I am too. I'm down to freeload on that one.
I'll bring a six pack. Of a 0.0 Heineken.
A six pack, yeah.
So we will definitely get into the McGregor fight as well. But I think, being that we are in Chico, California, we are in Northern California, home of Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
As the sign coming into Chico used to say until too many people complained about it.
No, somebody stole it.
Oh, someone stole it. Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
You gotta flaunt your famous people in small towns like these.
Right?
You gotta flaunt.
No doubt.
Yeah, you gotta.
But, guys, the San Francisco 49ers are headed to the Super Bowl, baby.
Yep.
That was very anticlimactic.
Okay, hold on.
Nothing happening
Let me try that again. Guys, the San Francisco 49ers are headed to the Super Bowl.
Bang.
Yeah. All right. Bang, Niner gang. I'd like to thank God first and foremost. I'd like to thank
the fairest weather fan ever.
I'd like to thank my grandparents
the weather fan ever.
For raising me as a Niners fan. My first love was the San Francisco 49ers. And when they're not playing well, I pay less attention. But always been a Niners fan as long as I can remember.
Just like you haven't heard a lick of Warrior talk from Jerome.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. I talked about how bad we were and how I hated the fact that the Niners moved or that the Warriors moved to San Francisco. But we don't need to get into that.
The only reason why I'm happy the Niners won is for your grandma right now. Shouts to Grandma Gills right now.
Yep,
she deserves it. No one else does. No one else does.
My grandmother, I watched the first half of the game with her, and she was ecstatic, obviously, about the way we played in the first half and the fact that we are moving on to the Super Bowl. It was really cool to see my 89-year-old grandmother be that excited over football again, because it's been, 8 years since the Niners have been in the Super Bowl, 25 years since they've won it, and now they have a chance. And at the beginning of the season, I remember doing the show with you boys and saying that I was hoping the Niners would even just make a wild card and make it interesting. I think any Niner fan saying that they expected a Super Bowl is lying through their teeth. We went 4-12 last year, so granted Garoppolo was hurt, but this is pretty awesome for me.
Yeah, no, I can imagine that. Hey, when your squad's in the Super Bowl, that's always a great feeling. Yeah. You know, like, there's definitely a sense of accomplishment that, like, granted, you didn't do anything for it.
No, nothing.
But mentally, spiritually, you were there for them. And, dude, you got to love it. I mean, I got to give a shout out to the Chiefs fans out there, my dad being one of them.
Yep.
Who
yep.
are, they've had a even longer job, 50 years since they've even been in the Super Bowl. Right. So this is their time to shine right now. Well, both teams right now, they got a chance to...
to break a long drought.
Yeah. To cement themselves in history.
Yep. We will we'll get into predictions and all that and looking forward here in a minute. But first, I want to go back to yesterday. We'll start with that Niners-Packers game because I think that was the more intriguing game for at least most of our listeners. And one of us in here is a Packers fan.
Hi, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
That one hurt. I mean, so all right, let me just start out with saying we don't have a defense, and it proved itself throughout the whole entire year against the Chargers and against the Niners. Like, we didn't have a defense. We wanted to believe we had a defense. We didn't have a defense, and that's what killed us. They were afraid of the running backs for the Niners.
You with a freshly shaved face actually look older than you do with the beard.
Wait,
I feel.
Really? I've been told
I feel like you look. You have younger. you have a very mature look right now without the facial hair at all. It's like freshly clean. I don't know.
I think he looks younger.
You think so? Maybe it's the light that he's in right now, but I feel like you look like...
Is it the lighting?
It's probably the lighting right now.
Yeah, it is. It is. This is like orange lighting.
Okay, I just feel like,
Okay, yeah, no.
A certain hue about you. All right, sorry. But yes.
Anyway.
Poor Rodgers, man. You got a feel for that guy. That he just can't win against his Niner game, a team that he loved so much growing up. And
getting skipped on being drafted by him, and the reporter asked him, like, what do you feel about the Niners passing over you? And he said, they're going to regret it one day. And unfortunately,
he said, I'm not disappointed as they will be for not drafting me.
Brad. Sorry. Yeah. Butchered it.
And he said the greatest form of revenge is to outlast the decision makers. And he has
he
done
did.
That.
Yeah.
And it is, I remember 05 and wanting desperately as a Niners fan to have Aaron Rodgers, who played, you know, at Cal, grew up in Chico, went to Butte. I wanted him to be our quarterback, and who knows how that would have gone. You would imagine that he would have had at least the same amount of success as far as Super Bowl titles, if not more, but it's who knows. It is interesting, however, when it comes to the playoffs, Aaron Rodgers is now, what is it, 0-3 against the Niners?
0-3 against the Niners.
And none of the games have been really all that close. Am I correct on that?
The one against Kaepernick was decently close. I was at that game. It was a back and forth for the most part.
Is that when Cap ran for like 180 all over him?
Yeah, it was like 170.
That was when he set the record that Raheem Mostert broke
yesterday.
Yeah. So.
Shouts to Raheem Mostert. That guy came out of nowhere.
Yeah, been cut by five different teams.
I think it was like seven, low-key. It was a fat number. You need more than one hand
to count the teams that cut him.
Definitely.
Yeah, I believe it was – I know it was Baltimore, the Colts, Tampa was in there. The Niners cut him before, so – pretty cool story for him to show out. And he's been balling all season long. I mean – the Niners, that Coleman injury looked pretty bad, but they've had a three-headed monster at running back. Breida's had some breakout games. Mostert has been solid all year, and Coleman, the time he has played, has always looked pretty good. I was really surprised to see the Niners play as dominant as they did. I thought this game would be a lot closer. And granted, in garbage time, the Aaron Rodgers made it a little nerve-wracking for Niners fans, but the game was pretty much over by the first half.
You can just see that their receiving core for the Packers is, after Adams, it's a steep drop-off.
Yes.
Yes.
Very steep.
Very much so. And Jimmy Graham is not what he used to be. He's not a reliable tight end. If anything, he's a middle of a pack, if not below average tight end nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
He's not what he used to be.
Which is crazy, because the guy was on the highest of highs for like a good 3 year span.
When he got moved to the Seahawks, that's when his decline hit, and it hit hard.
Which was so bizarre, because the Seahawks utilize the tight ends a lot in their offense.
And they didn't use him at all.
Russell Wilson is one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
And he wouldn't catch the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
with if it's Rodgers, not Breezy throwing it, it ain't worth it.
With Rodgers doing it, he's been doing a lot better job of catching the jump balls and back shoulders and all the different things. Yeah. But for Russell Wilson, he wasn't doing none of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Going over to the AFC side of things, the Kansas City Chiefs get the win yesterday against the Tennessee Titans.
Thank God. That would have been terrible.
Yeah, no one wanted to see the Titans in the Super Bowl. I will say,
what a story it would have been, though.
It would have been. Absolutely. Yeah. But I thought the Titans played that first half just about as well as you can play as far as game plan. They controlled time, possession. They controlled the clock. They ran the hell out of the ball. And they still found themselves down 4 points going into the half. And you kind of knew, I think most people who have been paying any attention this year kind of knew it was over at that point.
If you saw last week's game with the Chiefs, you knew that, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you knew they needed a lead.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Houston would have had a way better chance if they would have kept some of that lead going into halftime.
Correct.
But once that whole lead, once they were down,
going into halftime,
it was pretty much over.
We were joking around last week saying when the Chiefs score, it seems like they score 14 points at a time because they just score so quickly. And for my money, Patrick Mahomes, and this is probably a little overreactive, but he's the greatest quarterback I've ever seen as far as just pure talent.
I'm glad you went there. Can we give a little bit of credit to the weapons that he has? I mean, he has four receivers running 4.35 or faster.
Yeah, everyone out there is like a silver medalist in the Olympics.
His third running back is Shady McCoy.
That's the good fact point.
That you haven't seen Shady McCoy at all this entire playoff season is just kind of, it's funky. It's like, where did he go?
Like, he is 100% amazing. He's definitely one of the best we have ever seen. Mm-hmm. But, I mean,
if
you have four guys that are running 4.35 or faster,
they're
going to get open.
Yes.
I mean, you can move the way he does and get the time that he does. Of course, you're going to throw it deep and people are going to be open. I'm not saying he's not great. I'm just saying that sometimes we undervalue Mecole Hardman. We undervalue Tyreek Hill. We undervalue Travis Kelce. We give Travis Kelce a lot of love. We undervalue Damian Williams.
Yes.
We undervalue those pieces that he has because he has a lot of great pieces. And I'm not saying that it's all them or it's all him, but it's a nice little combination. And I think the 49ers have the same kind of chemistry going, too.
I mean, but the way that he moves in the pocket is just, he just senses everything around him, and he's able to find the nooks and crannies within the pocket still. When he needs to get out of the pocket, he's even better.
It just seems like he never really has pressure on him.
Yeah, it's so
he can dodge it very easy. He feels like he manipulates his way in there to avoid that pressure at all times. It's just crazy how he just has that ability to, because that's not that Tennessee Titans defense is no laughing matter. I mean, they're there for a reason.
Yeah, 100%.
And they played Mahomes pretty.
I mean, they won last time they played against him. Yeah, granted, that was his first game back from injury, but
I mean, he did throw for like 406 yards in that first game back. But I mean, I thought they played it pretty well on defense. It's just, once that thing starts rolling, man, once he added those scrambles and running game, it was like, okay, if he's going to start doing this on a regular basis.
Yeah, those are backbreakers. You know, third down, scrambling and getting the 7-yard first down on third and seven, stuff like that. I think he had five runs like that in that game.
Yeah, and that's what Russell Wilson has made a career out of doing, just breaking you defensively. You get him in a third and long, third and seven, third and 10, third and 12. And he drops back. It's a broken play. And next thing you know, Russell Wilson's running for 25 yards up the middle. And we saw Patrick Mahomes do that yesterday. I think that touchdown at the end of the half was really the backbreaker.
Somebody should have murdered that man, though.
He looked like he was drunk on that play. He really
did. He was
staggering. It really wasn't like a smooth run at all.
He doesn't look that fast.
He's actually rather lumbering type of runner.
He really is.
You would think he's so much quicker than he is, but he's probably just more agile.
Yeah, he's shiftier than you would expect because he doesn't look like it. And then he shifts his weight just slightly, but the whole thing looked like he was drunk.
He looks like he's slightly faster than Tom Brady. Just slightly faster.
Oh, he looked like Tom Brady at the combine.
He does not look very.
To your point earlier, though, I do think the way he moves in the pocket, is very Tom Brady, Drew Brees-esque, where it's not a whole lot of running around and making crazy moves like a Deshaun Watson, or certainly not like a Lamar Jackson.
But he can do that, though. That's the added. That's, you know, what's the sugar, spice, everything nice, and the Agent X. That's Agent X right there. That he can run zone read.
Yeah.
That he can run triple option. That he can scramble for 30 yards.
And if he really starts adding this to his game on a regular basis, good luck the rest of the NFL. You had something, Brad?
Yeah, so Aaron Rodgers right now in the playoffs, record-wise, is 11-8. He is 1-6 versus the West when he meets him in the playoffs.
So NFC West?
NFC West. He's only beaten the Seahawks once. He lost to
That was this year?
Yeah. He lost to the Niners 3 times. He's lost to Arizona twice. It's not pretty. And the other 2 losses outside of the West were against the Giants in 2011 and then Atlanta 3 years ago. So it's rocky when he faces the West.
Very good numbers.
Not great. No, horrible.
Yeah.
Not for when we have discussed here, and a lot of people have discussed, Aaron Rodgers being the best of all time as far as just talent and ability and all that kind of stuff. Those playoff numbers are pretty damning.
Yeah.
I mean, because when you have, like, he's one of the best. We consider him and revere him in that way because, I mean, look what he's always done it with. You know
yes,
what I mean? Like,
that's 100%.
His cupboard has been bare at times, and he's still found a way to be great.
Yeah, I mean,
fact that he has a Super Bowl ring is kind of like an anomaly.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't played with a Hall of Fame wide receiver his entire career. I mean, Jordy Nelson, Greg Jennings, those are like the best players he had. Maybe he had Donald Driver towards the end.
He had like 2 years with him, but even then.
They have never really put a lot around him. And
he's never had a running game.
Right. No. This was the first year having Aaron Jones back there. And I really thought if they could establish the running game yesterday, the Niners would have been in some trouble. And they had a couple plays where they would really gash the Niners, and then the Niners would just bottle it up. And that front four for the Niners has been a problem all year. And they smoked Green Bay, week 12?
Yep.
And then they came back in the championship game. It was just more of the same. Bosa's everywhere.
They lost
Armstead's everywhere.
The two meetings combined 46 points.
Yeesh. Not great.
Yeah.
All right, well, moving forward, we have the Super Bowl in 2 weeks. I thought this was the first year in some time that we got the two best teams in the league representing both conferences. I think you could have made an argument for the Saints before they pooped the bed at home against Minnesota.
Damn them for not giving us a Niners
Seahawks.
I'd rather see the Niners Saints playoff. A game I'd like to see. I want to see Drew Brees out there.
Yeah, the Seahawks weren't a very complete team this year. Their defense was
especially when they lost all their running backs and had to go to Marshawn Lynch. It was just
that hurt them a lot.
Yeah.
That really did. That kind of killed all momentum for them this season. But save your chicken, ladies and gentlemen. moving forward, we have the Super Bowl in 2 weeks. I believe the line opened at -2 or -1.5, depending on where you're looking, for Kansas City. So Kansas City favored.
That's good money, baby.
You think so?
Take the Niners.
I'm taking the Niners.
Okay, so we're making predictions. We're taking the Niners, huh? What about you, Derek?
You know, I mean, they always say when you have the best defense versus the best offense, the defense usually wins. But I just feel that they're going to have something special for them. And the Chiefs' defense is not that bad either. The way they were able to handle Derrick Henry this past game was pretty impressive. And I think they'll be able to do something against. Because, like I said, that passing game for the Niners, Garoppolo's good. He can be. But I think if you're able to force him in to have to throw the ball a little bit more.
Yeah. I think that's the biggest thing. The Niners have a great chance at this game if at no point they fall way behind and you are relying on Garoppolo to win the game. If you are going blow for blow with Kansas City, or you could stay ahead a bit and you can run the ball and basically play the way the Titans played the first 20 minutes of that game yesterday, you have a really good chance. The formula to beating Kansas City is keeping that offense off the field. And because they can score in bunches and they can score incredibly fast. So tiring out their defense, I think, is the way to go. And I think the Niners have the personnel to do it. But I'm really excited for the Super Bowl. I think this is a pick 'em.
I mean, the Niners, they have, like you said, the formula to beat them. Mm-hmm. You have the D-line that can get there with four.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we've said that Mahomes has almost never seems like he's under pressure. The 49ers will find a way to get pressure on him.
Yeah. So the opening line right now is Chiefs minus one. The over-under is 52.5. So,
Derrick Henry had 69 rush yards. The 49ers had 285 rush yards against the Green Bay Packers.
Well, that doesn't say much.
Between Deebo Samuel, Tevin Coleman, Matt Breida, Raheem Mostert, and I think even Emmanuel Sanders got involved. I feel like this is the way they can do it. You know what I'm saying? Because like, they can load up on Derrick Henry. You could put eight in the box, and after a while you know, hey, Derrick Henry's – we're not going to let Derrick Henry beat us.
Yeah.
But you can't load up eight in the box and then they fake it to Breida and then give it to Deebo Samuel. Deebo Samuel's around the corner for 45.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like – there are just so many counters that the Titans didn't have, and they still played them decent.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't even expect the Titans to be in the game.
Yeah.
So that's just true. Like, I just feel like everything points to Niners. Like, even pointing to Derek's thing about best offense, best defense, usually defense wins.
That's they usually do.
Yeah, that's just one more thing. But it's just like, offensively, Jimmy Garoppolo could throw 12 passes in this game. You know what I'm saying? He's not going to need to be great. If he doesn't turn the ball over, like, it's pretty much a wrap. If they can run the ball and they don't have, and he doesn't turn the ball over, they're good. Maybe get Mahomes to throw one pick, they're fine. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
They win by 10 plus.
Mahomes doesn't turn the ball over much, though. So, should be, like I said, I just think for the first time in a few years, we absolutely have the two best teams representing both conferences in the Super Bowl. And I can't wait. I'm going to be a nervous mess, but it should be a ton of fun, man.
It's a win-win, because if the 49ers win, I get money, and if the Chiefs win, you know, a black quarterback won the Super Bowl. So
fair enough.
Yeah.
I'm kind of in the same boat. happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day, everybody.
yep.
That's a dream he was speaking of this entire time.
I dream one day that a black quarterback will win the Super Bowl and be the MVP, Doug Williams. Shout out, Doug Williams.
Was Russell Wilson the MVP when they won? No, it was...
Malcolm Smith.
Malcolm Butler.
That's right. No, Smith. No. Malcolm Smith.
Oh, yeah, when they actually won it. I was thinking about when... Because what did Malcolm Butler get it when... When he got that pick in the end zone?
I think Tom Brady still won it.
I think,
Tom Brady won it.
No.
That's trash.
That's fair.
Wasn't even great.
They're not going to give it to a cornerback, okay? But not when they have Tom Brady.
They don't win it without my man.
Yeah.
True, but they don't win it without Tom Brady either.
You don't know that.
Yeah.
We'll see this year when he's on a different team.
Yeah, we'll see that, yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about that real quick.
Yeah, but say before we wrap up NFL.
Yeah, so Tom Brady was on a show in L.A. I don't remember which one it was.
Westwood.
Was it Westwood?
Yeah.
Okay, it was Westwood. And said that he is open-minded about the opportunity of playing somewhere else this season. It seems like he's gone, right?
It seems like the relationship is definitely in flux right now. It's like, who's going to break up with whom, I think. And Tom Brady doesn't want to be the guy. He's like trying to force their hand to break up with him. He's like, I'm just going to make it look like I'm aloof. And, look, I mean, a lot of people, I've heard a lot of talk of the Chargers being a team that he could go to. And that would be actually kind of fun. I would love to see him. Let's change it up a little bit. You know, let's spice things up. Put him on the West Coast. Let's see how he does. And if he could actually make that San Diego team worth something, because not San Diego, L.A., that's the Chargers.
I still call them. Yeah.
Because they have nobody in L.A. They really don't.
Yeah, no one cares about
no
him.
No one.
That story works in perfect conjunction because there was just a text from Philip Rivers to ESPN that he's actually moving to Florida to be closer to his family.
Oh, nice.
So he doesn't know. And he had said he doesn't know what kind of impact that will have on his career. So there may be an opening.
Miami, baby.
Yeah, well, his contract is up there anyway. And I think by all accounts, they're planning on moving on.
You could tell in his last press conference, man, the way he was breaking down. Yeah, he's out of the Chargers.
He knew he was gone.
Yeah.
You know what? Didn't even see it.
You didn't? No.
Because who cares about Philip Rivers?
I mean, no one really does, but, like, you know, there's, like, half the nation that does, and they're all his kids, but, you know.
The most interesting fact about Philip Rivers is that he has 45 kids.
he does have quite the squad. What is it, 11 kids?
10 or 11. I think he's almost able to field the squad.
He got a defense.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Chargers, Colts.
Nine kids.
Okay.
All right, so betting odds in Vegas for where Tom Brady may end up. The Chargers are plus 200, Cowboys plus 700, the Raiders plus 700, Colts plus 800.
The Cowboys is utterly ridiculous.
Yeah, the Cowboys, the Colts might make sense, but, I mean, they have Brissett, so I don't think that's a good
bet. Brissett wasn't great.
Yeah, no. I mean, all right,
he played like a backup.
Most teams in the league right now would take Tom Brady.
You think? I feel like that's why in the press conference it seems like he's kind of hesitant because he's not sure who wants him. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The hardest part of a breakup is finding your next victim.
But at the same time, right now, the grass is always green on the other side when it comes to the NFL. You know? Sure. And, like, I think at this point in time, like, there's a lot of teams that would like to have him on the team for at least a year or two, see what they can get out of him. I think there's a handful of squads out there.
I think he's going to the Chargers.
For the right amount of money, yeah, I can see it making sense.
I think he's going to the Chargers. The Chargers need an attraction. No one in L.A., like you just said, Derek, gives a damn about the Chargers. And if he goes to the Chargers, kids are going to be wearing Tom Brady Chargers jerseys immediately. You have a marquee name to immediately begin advertising and trying to bring some buzz to a team who has been much maligned ever since the move to Los Angeles. We don't even call them the Los Angeles Chargers because...
still San Diego.
No one cares.
Mm-hmm. Bolt up, baby.
A lot of interesting stories that we'll be able to discuss this offseason, but we'll save it for this offseason because we still have one more game of football to be played. Let's move on.
Two more. Do not forget the Pro Bowl, okay? That is the
crown jewel of the NFL.
Right? Don't care!
There's only one thing that anyone ever remembers from the Pro Bowl, and it's Sean Taylor lighting up the kicker from the Giants.
Oh, Mormon got lit up. Why was he? He's fast, though. He was super fast.
Yeah, he should have been slower.
Yeah.
You should, if you haven't seen it, go ahead and YouTube Sean Taylor Pro Bowl hit. It'll pop up immediately.
R.I.P.
And my God.
I mean, I will say the punter did hop back up right away after getting lit up by Sean Taylor.
I feel like he took a little off of it, too. Like, I feel like he really could have, like, hurt him.
He could have murdered him.
Yeah, but he
anyone else in the real world would have been murdered by that hit.
I mean, yeah, tough kicker, tough punter.
Yeah.
Getting hit by these guys just looks so painful.
It's a car crash every single time, man.
It's a crazy thing.
Why do you go back like 4 yards?
Are you playing right now? Rewind it.
So we're in a lifetime. Just watch this.
So they run a fake. The punter is running up the side.
Boom!
Okay.
And he launched right into him.
He didn't pop right back up.
This is before helmet to helmet, kids.
He took a couple seconds to lay there.
He's wobbly getting back up.
The fact that he did it in a Pro Bowl, though, is absolutely amazing.
It was uncalled for in every single way.
It was a close game. AFC was up 21-14. I mean, in the third quarter, you got to go for it, man.
I mean, he did stop the first down from being made, so, you know.
That's cool. My God.
He really just kind of stops there. You know,
he's ejected in today's game.
Oh,
it wasn't even helmet to helmet.
I swear they just call it when somebody gets hit too hard.
No. Yeah, that's fair.
Throw that. Is he okay?
I do have to say that Bosa, when he got Aaron Jones yesterday and threw him down and they picked up the flag, I was happy to see them pick up the flag because that was not a penalty. And so many times we err on the side of caution. And I would have been pretty furious.
I mean, I'm okay with them throwing the flag down, but then realizing that, hey, it shouldn't have been a flag.
Yeah. How often
does that happen, though? That was very rare. Yeah. Very, very rare.
That they correct the mistake.
Yeah.
They usually just roll with it. Like, hey, we're riding this so the wheels fall off.
Shout out our man, TJ Hudson, who actually said they're going to pick that flag up, and they immediately did. Let's talk some local sports, shall we? Brad, you ready to do some North State update?
Yep.
Cool. He's got facts. He's got stats. And his name is Brad. It's time for Statman Brad's North State Update.
All right, y'all. Time for the North State Update. Just like he said, Chico State men and women's basketball playing against University of California Santa Cruz, a Division III team, just to kind of fill in between the CCAA monotony. And the men took advantage of it as a good practice game, got everything kind of situated, and they won 78-47. Their next game is going to be this Thursday against Cal State Dominguez Hills at Chico. Wow, that was loud, and that hurt my ears.
It did. Yeah, sorry, guys.
It's okay. It's all right. We forgive you somewhat.
I'm going to bring down the Panthers.
Oh, I appreciate that. That was like, whoa. That, yeah,
sorry, that was
that
wild
sounded
cat.
Wrong. That no, that cat. Sounded wrong. Jeez.
All right, let me get the wild
Thank
cat.
You. Appreciate it. Better and quieter. I like it.
All right, there you go.
And then on Saturday, they'll be playing Cal State LA. Their record right now is a very, very good one. It's 8-2 in conference, 13-3 overall. The shocking thing about it is they are 6-0 away, and they're 6-2 at home. So it's quite impressive. Good for them. They have a 7-game win streak going on right now. Right now, the women, they played UC Santa Cruz, and that didn't go too well. They lost 45-55. But hopefully they can bounce back in the CCAA, playing against Dominguez Hills and Cal State LA. Right now they're in the fifth spot for the CCAA standings, and the men are in second place. So they're still in playoff contention, and there's still a couple weeks left of season left. So we will see where that goes in the near weeks. But let's go to prep basketball. Big game this week. PV Chico facing off. Thursday, the boys played, and it kind of wasn't close. PV beat Chico 68-56. The first quarter, PV scored 21. Chico scored 8, and it was an uphill battle from there that they could not climb. PV right now is 2-1 in conference, only losing to Foothill, and they are 12-8 overall in second place. Chico is 2-1 overall in conference and, well, division, league, whatever you want to call it in high school, and they are 11-7 overall, sitting in third place. Going to the ladies, there's a little bit of reverse script there. Chico gets the win, and they go 2-1 in league. Chico beat PV 47-35. Chico only scored 4 points in the first quarter. PV scored 10, but Chico rallies back and gets 47 at the end of it all. They are in second place at 2-1, and PV at 2-1, sitting at third place. Baseball will be starting at Chico State in a couple weeks, and we'll be reporting on that as well. But my stat of the day, 23 days left until pitchers and catchers report to their respective teams. Baseball's happening soon, everybody.
That's your stat of the day?
I am excited.
Is that a stat?
That's not a stat.
It's a fact, stat, whatever. It's
just because it has numbers in it doesn't make it a stat.
I don't think that's a stat.
Yeah. You're too excited, man. That's a little...
I am very excited.
It's just pitchers and catchers reporting. There's nothing else happening.
It means something's starting up.
It means things are
happening, people, everybody. Loving it. But yeah, that's Monroe State update. And if you don't like my stat of the day, you can...
Here it is!
Thank you.
He was going to say suck it, but you know...
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. Well, here's some news.
When news breaks in the tri-state area or the world...
Breaking news, breaking news. Derek Isamaki has breaking news.
That's right, y'all. Time for the news. Got a couple of good stories for y'all, as I always do, because, you know, I care about y'all, and I want you to know what's happening out there in the world. So we take it over to Kansas right away. Right away, I'm sorry. Ah. Divorces are ugly. They're tough, from what I hear and from what I've read. Never been a part of one, thank goodness. But David Ostrom...
You'd have to love someone first, dude.
Yeah, exactly. So,
my heart cold.
David Ostrom and his now ex-wife, Bridget Ostrom, are in a bit of a dispute right now. Apparently, David has admitted in court that Bridget has completely and utterly destroyed him legally. And he doesn't have much option other than to challenge his wife in a duel. That is right. He has filed a request to the courts for trial by combat. Now, at this point in time...
Did he pull out his glove and slap her with it?
No. Okay. He doesn't want to do it with a glove. Okay. He wants to use Japanese katanas. That's what he's going for.
That's his,
that's his weapon of choice he wants to do. Now, the last time a trial by combat has been used was as recently as 1818.
Okay.
In the British courts.
That's pretty recent.
Who won?
Yeah, 1818, not that long ago.
Yeah.
Is not completely unheard of. It is not in the law books to not be able to do this.
Not unprecedented.
No, completely. The precedent has been set already. Yeah. That you can do it. 1818, British courts. Let's do it. I want to see this happening.
But who won in that British court? Do you know?
It doesn't give me any more details on that.
Details we need.
Yeah, I should have looked at the 1818 court case.
Yeah, is this similar to challenging someone to a duel?
Essentially, yes. Okay. I believe so. Yeah. Now, obviously, Bridget not really wanting to participate in this duel, so he obviously says you can use a proxy. In fact, her lawyer, he has volunteered him, Matthew Hudson. I have a feeling that Matthew Hudson's porking his ex-wife and he wants to get back at him right now. That's what I'm thinking right now based on the situation, because he specifically looks like he challenged out Matthew Hudson, the lawyer. Because I guess that's what lawyers do nowadays. You defend your client at all costs.
You defend her honor.
Honor at all costs, yes.
They should joust.
Jousting would be good, too. I think jousting's a good way. I think we should bring about some jousting.
Right? We were talking about on West Sacramento over there by Chico High. That would be a great
street. That would be a draw right there.
Yeah.
Settling legal disputes by jousting. I think we're on to something right now.
Hey,
not
Chico.
To mention, I mean, we talk about violent sports. That one's not that bad, okay? Like, we have guys playing football who run each other all the time. I think we should bring back jousting just for pure entertainment value, too.
I'm good with that.
Yeah, about it.
Some good, legit jousting. Let's get it started, all right? The NJL.
Honestly, we have too many people in this world as it is. If we want to bring back gladiators, I'm good with that, too.
Well, gladiators were usually slaves.
But I didn't say slaves. I said gladiators.
Okay, yes. Well, are we just going to have people volunteering to fight to the death?
Yeah, I'm sure people
would. I mean, that's what MMA is.
I guess that is true. Yeah, they are. More modern day. It's pretty much cockfighting out there.
Yeah, just give them weapons. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, there we go. I think, I'm down for that. Let's do it. Bring out the Coliseum, guys. A lot of things can be done in there. Now, we're moving on over to New York right now, in Nassau County. I've always wanted to live in Nassau County, because I like saying Nassau County. It sounds fun. I don't know. Valeri Portlock apparently has an obsession in his life, where he really wants to be a cop. However, he's not a cop. But instead, he tries to impersonate cops by pulling people over.
Oh.
I don't know why you would want to do that. I'm guessing there's got to be some money scam involved. Like, here, mail money to this address. You know, I don't know exactly what he's doing. But 25-year-old Valeri Portlock pulled over the wrong car. He pulled over a van that was filled with Nassau County Electronic Squad detectives. The detectives obviously identified themselves as cops. Valeri shook, ran away, sped off, and they promptly contacted the highway patrol, to which a little high-speed chase participated, but he was arrested with no other incidents. He was charged with first-degree criminal impersonation and second-degree reckless endangerment and unlawful fleeing from a police officer. I don't understand why people why do you want to pull somebody over if they don't have to? Like, unless you, like, plan on, like, murdering them and that's your way to get them, I don't know what's his...
It's probably a power thing.
Yeah,
it's for sure a power thing. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, cops in that situation, cops in general have a lot of power in situations.
They do.
Yeah.
I guess it's just probably a small penis on this guy.
Yeah?
Yeah. So he fakes being a cop. Last one. Keeping in the penis family right now. Tyson Fury is getting ready for his fight with Deontay Wilder in very peculiar ways right now. He has said that he has completely changed his diet, cut out Diet Coke in particular. Never understood Diet Coke and people's fascination with it. The people that love Diet Coke love Diet Coke.
The antihistamine.
And they can't say no to it. But right now, Tyson Fury, he's saying no to the Diet Coke right now.
Spartame, excuse me.
Yes, that stuff.
Yeah.
And then one of the ways he's also changing his regimen is he is masturbating 7 times a day to keep his testosterone pumping. Is that what he says it does? So... For you guys out there, 7 times a day and plus, you're doing something right for your body, apparently.
That's impressive.
What, 7 times a day?
Masturbating.
Oh, sick.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I'd be sleepy all day, boy.
I don't know. That's okay. All right. Well.
And he's just openly sharing that?
He's just openly sharing that that's what his regimen is right now. He literally quotes, "I'm masturbating 7 times a day to keep my testosterone pumping. You got to keep active. Testosterone flowing.
Does he not have a wife, or does that mess up the testosterone?
Well, I feel
process?
Like that's a lot more work if you have to, like, you know, actually, instead of just lying down there and just doing it yourself, it's probably less energy is being produced in that way, but not as fun, though.
I'd be like, baby, it's fight week.
Yeah,
just 6 weeks out. I need you.
All times a day. So for all of you wondering what you can do to change your life around, masturbate 7 times a day, and you're on to better, bigger and better things. That's the news, guys.
Wow. All right. how do we transition from that? Hi, Aaron. Hello.
Hey there.
We bring on our foreign correspondent, Aaron Ismaki, and we're discussing Jeopardy and some hockey.
Puck yeah.
That's correct.
All right. So, Aaron, last you were on, we were discussing Ken Jennings took a kind of a commanding lead. Was he able to be crowned the GOAT of Jeopardy?
He is. He is officially the GOAT of Jeopardy. And I think I called it last week. I think I said, you know, he was the one to beat.
You did.
This is his Super Bowl, you know. He's probably, you know, this is everything he could ever be. And, like, the pinnacle of his life is right now, being the GOAT on Jeopardy.
Granted, probably
be
true.
Most people
probably
lives.
Be the pinnacle for most people, though. Yeah. So.
I'd take it.
It's
isn't
pretty
he, like,
awesome.
An accomplished professor or something along those lines? Or he's just kind of a regular Joe Schmo?
He was kind of a regular Joe Schmo, and when he won all the money in his first run, he quit his job and he decided to become a writer. So he's kind of living his best life, doing what he wants. So
shout out to Ken Jennings.
Ken Jennings.
Yeah,
yeah.
What's up? I mean, who wouldn't want to do that? He sounds like he's living the American dream. That's the American dream.
It really is.
Exactly. Yeah.
I would love to.
And
just...
he has another $1 million to add to that. So
if I won a bunch of money, I would just do this all day.
I wonder what books he's written and how many of them have been sold. Is he like a bestseller?
I'm not 100% sure. I think he's more of a columnist, though, and, you know.
That's a good profession.
People probably just, they just read because he's Ken Jennings, you know?
He's got a name, no doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it was an exciting last match. So they went into the final match, and Jennings was up 2. James Holzhauer had 1 win, and unforgettable Brad, I think. Brad Rutter. I think that's his name.
Yes.
Had no win. So it was exciting because Jennings had a commanding lead in the first round. I think he was up. He had a great double Jeopardy at one point, and he ended up winning the first game with like 65,000 points.
Wow.
Which was pretty good.
Yeah.
Going into the second game of the final round, going into Final Jeopardy, Holzhauer was winning with 44,000 points and Jennings had 23,000 points. But what happened on the Final Jeopardy was Holzhauer, he bet it all, but he got the answer wrong and Jennings bet nothing. And so he took the cake.
Well, all right. Shout out to Ken Jennings, huh?
He's doing something right with
pretty
his
exciting.
Life.
That's awesome. What do you have for us on the puck front? Whoa, I'm not going to put those two words back to back again on air.
They're about halfway through, and I'd say, you know, the best two teams are probably St. Louis and Washington Capitals, which I think is no surprise there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a race to the bottom for the Kings, but the Colorado Avalanche are looking pretty good. So safe to say I'll probably be switching teams at the end of this season.
Oh, look at you.
You got to find one closer to home, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Exactly. You know, I've taken your rule very seriously. I've moved. I can switch teams. It's allowed.
It is allowed if you move.
Exactly.
And Utah doesn't have they don't have a hockey team, do they?
No. You're not going to be a Jazz fan, are you?
Wait, who's the minor league team over there?
The Grizzlies?
Huh. Where are they out of? Ogden?
I think Salt Lake City.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. I learned that when I moved here, too.
You're not converting to a Utah Jazz fan, are you?
No. Okay. Of course not.
All right.
Never.
Good. Your Lakers are looking all right, huh?
Yeah, not bad. This game against the Celtics is an exciting one, as playing the Celtics is always exciting.
Classic rivalry right there.
Especially when LeBron is 28-0 against Kemba Walker.
That was impressive.
Is he really?
Yeah. Kemba Walker has never beat LeBron James.
Well, not going to lie, today might be that day.
That might be the stat of the day. That's a stat of the day, Brad. That's how it's done.
Oh, is that how it's done?
Yeah. Thank you for
it's,
that.
It's my segment. I get to do what I want with it.
All right, Aaron. So with all this game show talk, I got to ask you a family question. If you were on Family Feud, you get to pick five people in your family. Is Derek in that five? And if so, who is your five for the family?
Well, that's pretty easy. You just have to leave one person off.
So out of your immediate family, so like one of your sisters or Derek would be out?
Yeah. You know, because Derek's got some pretty good sports knowledge.
I got more than that to offer. How dare you limit me to just sports knowledge?
He's got Florida.
Yeah.
He's got Florida.
I'm just saying, in the family realm of things, the only thing that Derek has to offer that no one else can beat him at is probably sports knowledge. So I'm not saying, Derek, you're the dumbest in the family, but,
All right, so who's your starting five?
My dad, for sure.
Yep, makes sense.
You know what, and I'm not going to lie, it might be my mother that we leave off. You know, she's a foreigner.
She is. She doesn't know the American customs that well, you know?
She doesn't go to the malls.
If we're playing in Mexico, maybe I'd pick her. But, you know, sorry, Mom. I think I'm going to leave you off my Family Feud team.
I think that's fair.
And at the end of the game, you go, is it Pops and you, or who are you going with at the end of the game?
Yeah, definitely my dad, for sure. I'm trying to think who's the quickest off the cuff. I think it might, I'd go with me. Come on, guys, who are we kidding?
Right, I feel like you have to pick yourself.
You have some faith in yourself, but yeah understandable. I won't refute those.
Just, you know, fake humility over here.
Hey, Steve Harvey, hit up the Isamaki family. get them on there. I want to be on there. I would just be like in the crowd.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Jordan, what do you think?
Eat that popcorn.
I would love to see that.
That would actually be kind of fun.
That would be. Yeah.
Right? That's one of my life goals. Being on Family Feud with your family. I'm going to just add two random little kids, though.
And Jennings. He can probably be on your family.
There you go.
Yeah. He'll blend right in.
You got anything else for us, Aaron?
That's it. I'll come back with some more hockey stats next week and maybe a fight or two.
All right. Awesome.
Fuck yeah.
Yes.
Appreciate it, Aaron. We will talk to you next week.
Talk to you later, guys.
Later.
Peace.
I love having her on the show. She always brings it. And I really think we should come back with our ultimate five for Family Feud if you could choose anyone. Next week.
Dead or alive?
Alive.
Okay.
Yeah.
Family Feud, you got to think, Family Feud is such an interesting game because it's not really about straight line knowledge.
Right.
It's about your knowledge of people, the preferences of people, and certain situations.
Yeah.
It's really like it's a book. Somebody being a 4.0 student is not going to necessarily help them on Family Feud if they're not personal.
Just random stuff is going to be going to help you on that
one. I mean,
one.
Not to mention, they ask questions on there that are only trying to get ridiculous answers out of people. So.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Scooby-Doo might be number seven. Are you ready for that?
Moving on. Zion Williamson.
There you go. Yeah.
Zion is going to make his NBA debut this Wednesday, and it's about damn time. It's been a while since we've had a rookie that we've anticipated and has had this much hype. In fact, when was the last rookie that had this much hype about him, would you say?
Probably Joel Embiid, just because he sat out two whole years.
But there wasn't anything brewing for Joel Embiid. We saw this guy Duncan in high school when he was like a junior.
And we were his games were on national TV as a high schooler. Yeah.
We were getting jazzed. We were getting ready for that guy for 3 years before he even had a chance to even get into the league.
I mean, the only person I can really think of that we got this hyped up for was LeBron James. Everyone else has been like, hey, yeah, they're going to be good, but not this much hype. Like, he's being called the next LeBron James, which I don't think so, but...
Well, I think it's a combination of the way he plays is just very explosive, right?
Yeah.
And it's a fun way to... It's a type of basketball I want to watch. Honestly, all these threes are really boring to me, and I think it's absolutely killing the sport. I think that's part of the reason television views are so down, is it's not as exciting to see people just jack up threes all day. But I'm curious to see what he looks like when he comes back, because he looked awesome in preseason.
When that Pelicans team is at where it's supposed to be with him there, they're going to be a fun squad to watch, I feel.
Agreed.
They have a lot of good young talent in there. I mean, I think that combination of Ball and Williamson will be, if they can figure it out and have like a really good duo, that could be a lot of fun.
And don't forget, Ingram too.
Yeah.
Ingram's playing really well this year. Drew Holiday's got a lot of upside.
J.J. Redick off the bench.
Yeah.
And they're not that far out of a playoff spot. They're only four games out, so...
Yeah, if they could make the playoffs this year, that'd be outstanding for them.
Oh, that'd be huge.
Yeah.
That would be absolutely huge.
I mean, it'd keep Redick's streak alive, because he hasn't missed a playoff series since he got into the NBA. So, that'd be good.
Damn.
Pretty impressive.
That's the stat of the day, Brad.
Even in Orlando, he made the playoffs.
Yep.
That's impressive.
Yeah, that's impressive.
That is really impressive.
It's probably with Dwight Howard.
When Zion got drafted and... Redick was on the Pelicans.
He said, don't mess this up for me.
He might be what gets them over the hump.
I mean, he might.
We'll see.
But yeah, other than that, as far as for Zion, that's really all that I'm excited. I just want to see him play. You know what I mean? I don't really have any super high expectations. I think they have a good enough team to where he's not going to have like a John Morant role or like a Luka role where he's like the main guy. He's just going to be another guy out there for the most part, who's super explosive, can run the lane and dunk. And I'm sure he'll get a lot of opportunities to do that, granted if he can stay healthy.
Yeah. We've never seen a player of his body type be this explosive. We've never really seen it, I don't think, right?
One is LeBron.
Yeah, he's 6'6", 284. Like, that's just ridiculous.
I mean, Charles Barkley's body with... I mean, obviously, he doesn't look like Charles Barkley.
No, he's
the weight and the height.
Yeah.
It's Charles Barkley's body with, you know,
just crazy
Gerald
bounce.
Green explosion.
Yeah, it's insane to me.
Prime Gerald Green, like blow a cupcake out, windmill Gerald Green.
I just saw him the other day take one step and go between the legs and absolutely throw it down. It wasn't like he just made it.
No, he slammed it.
That was dirty.
Yeah.
Off the drop step.
He is itching.
Yeah, he's ready to go.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it. Speaking of other rookie phenoms, Ja Morant has absolutely been killing it. He is just a highlight machine. I loved him yelling at James Harden the other day, "Tell that mother about me." That was pretty cool to see him go at James Harden about like that. And he's just been going off. I don't really have much else to say other than he's a lot of fun to watch.
I concur with that statement, I don't have anything else to add.
Yeah, like you said, he's not just jacking up three. He's not that great of a shooter. So, like, he plays, like, everywhere.
Yeah.
Pick and roll, mid-range, dunks a lot. Like, he's exciting.
Go ahead.
No, that was Andrew. That was me.
Last thing we should touch on real quick before moving on from the NBA is Chandler Parsons was in a pretty bad car accident, and it now looks like it may be career ending. That guy just could not avoid injuries, and now this car accident. It's rough, man. He got paid all that money and never really played much basketball after that. He got maxed, didn't he? Am I right about that? Pretty sure he got maxed.
By Dallas, I believe.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he got maxed.
Who is he on right now? Or
the Hawks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know. When I seen the name on the rundown, I didn't even know he was still in the league, honestly, because he hasn't played in a while.
I mean, he got a four-year, $94 million. This is the last year on the contract. He's getting
from the Hawks?
From the Grizzlies, right?
From the Grizzlies. He got traded or something to the Hawks this year.
They were looking for a dead contract.
Pretty much.
Those expiring contracts are...
Wrong choice of words there.
Buddy. Okay, you're right. Expiring contract. Still not much better.
He's not dying.
No.
Before we move from NBA, Derek, is there anything that the Lakers you see feasibly being able to add before the All-Star break to put them over the top? Or do you think they can do it?
They need another piece. A couple more pieces at least. There's talks of Derrick Rose being moved over to the Lakers.
Do you think that helps you?
I would prefer to have a J.J. Redick type of person. I think another outside shooter is a more consistent one. A lot of guys can be very spotty at times.
Yeah.
But if we have a guy like J.J. who's consistent, I think that would be a nice addition to have. Other than that, man, we have a really... Especially at the center, we're always big, no matter what. And our bigs are so athletic with Howard, McGee, and Anthony Davis. Like, those 3 7-footers right there are just freaks of nature, yeah.
That's the thing with Anthony Davis. If a team wants to go small, Anthony Davis can still come out and guard.
He can guard a three damn near.
Yeah, and that makes it. That's what makes the Lakers so imposing, not just because they have, obviously, LeBron and Anthony Davis, but the fact that both those guys can guard basically all five positions makes it really difficult to match up with them, so...
I mean, they are getting blown out of the water right now by Boston. It's pretty bad.
But Davis is out right now.
No, he's back in.
I think it's his first game back.
Yeah, it's 103-75 Boston with 127 left in the third.
Sheesh, wow. 103 in the third?
See, that's what people don't like those scores, man. They always try to say offense is what brings this type of offense is just too much.
They need to bring back hand checking. I'm telling you.
They need to
hand checking, and it's time to move the 3-point line.
Deeper.
Yeah. It's time to move it. Like, this is getting ridiculous.
But they're just going to jack up from even deeper, and the percentage is just going to go down. It's going to be like...
I think it would regress to the norm at some point, because the three is such an advantageous shot right now, because not only is it worth 50% more, but you can hit it at such a high clip. I think you move it back a little bit more, you're going to go back to... only, like, real shooters pulling up from threes on a regular basis.
Then what we should do in general is just get rid of the three-point line altogether.
Nah, that's whack.
Yeah,
that's
I don't agree with that.
That would eliminate so many players. The game would be 6'9 and up.
Yeah.
There would be no need for a point guard. There'd be no need to run offense.
I mean, they did it back in the day when there was no three-point line.
I know, but
Jerry West had a thriving career.
But who won? The team with the big black guy that they just throw it to and dunk. Wilt Chamberlain, true Bill that. Russell.
True that.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you just got to have, you got one dude who's bigger than everybody else and taller, and that's what the game's about. That's what's going to come down to.
Every point's a 3-point shot then. Everything.
Yeah.
There you go.
Let's talk about this McGregor fight real quick, because this was an absolutely necessary win. I can't really speak right now, but you guys know what I'm trying to say. I think for McGregor's career and legacy, I think it was basically over if he lost to Cowboy.
I mean, don't get me wrong. The guy is still going to be a draw. He's definitely toned down his personality a lot. I think he kind of, ever since his beatdown by Khabib and his hiatus, I think he kind of took a realization that he needs to take this fight game seriously. And I think that's what the mindset he went into with his training camp for to face Cowboy. And the UFC needed him to win, too. I really feel I know they were trying to say they probably don't have any rooting interest or whatever, but for them to have at least two more solid, pretty much pay-per-views that people are going to be really tuning into, they needed him to win this fight.
Well, you also saw, like, with him taking the fight seriously, he also took his opponent more seriously. I mean, the way he went out with Khabib and insulting him and not only his religion but his dad, but I feel like he's going to be, the way he's looking at it, he might honor these opponents a little bit better and actually respect them instead of just insult them.
I mean, Cowboy was a match made for him to win.
Yeah.
I mean, Cowboy,
easy, yeah.
Yeah, Cowboy's, 50 fights in the game. You know,
yeah.
McGregor, I believe, hasn't even had 20 yet. And, I mean, Cowboy's older. He's coming off 2 losses. This is, I think, his 3rd loss in a row. I mean, but the match made for Conor McGregor to get back in. I agree with everything you said about the UFC needing him to win, because we need that Khabib fight, or maybe he'll fight Masvidal, who would destroy him,
yeah.
But, I mean, that's what we want to see. We want to see somebody's lip get split.
If he does get the chance, if Masvidal does get the chance to fight him, I really hope McGregor goes back to talking, because Masvidal can talk, too.
Masvidal should fight Khabib. I don't know what the weight difference is there, but Masvidal and Khabib should fight. That would be a good fight.
I mean, anyone that Masvidal fights, I think a lot of people are tuning to him. They're kind of, I mean, we go to the guy that talks the loudest right now, and Masvidal.
He's an ant. Like, have you seen his knockouts?
No, they're disgusting. I mean, he has the record 7 seconds, right?
Four seconds. Yeah,
okay.
Ben
Askren. He's a pick-up slugger.
Yeah,
no. Yeah, that's what we want to see.
Yep. Derek, you want to do foot and mouth real quick? You
Please,
want to knock
I have,
out some?
Yeah, I got a lot of foot and mouth I need to do.
Okay, well, you have a minute and a half to knock it all out.
I can do it.
All right, let's do it.
And now it's time we take a deep dive into the world of soccer with the man responsible for such flashes of brilliance as
39 was last year, and he could barely, like, throw a ball out at a barnside.
It's time for Derek Izumaki's foot and mouth.
Yeah. about time. Haven't had a chance to talk about any football for a very long time, and so much has been happening. So much has been happening. Zlatan! He's signed with Milan. What? Where did that come from? Well, back to Milan. He's been there before. And he's still doing what he does best, scoring in his debut when he played for them. Amazing. The guy is an animal. They always say, Zlatan doesn't age. Age Zlatans.
Yeah!
Oh, I love Zlatan.
Dude, he's the king. Will forever be the king. Love him wherever he goes. So Milan, squad I'm following now. Back into the Premier League. If you're a Liverpool fan, my goodness, you're on yourself. You are on a run right now. Yep. You have legitimately had 1,001 day run without losing at home. 1,001 days without losing at home.